Welcome in to Technology of Faith with Dr. Leslie and friends. For the next hour, step into technology through faith as we help you live the abundant life in every way. Here is your host, Dr. Leslie Wells.
Welcome to the Dr. Leslie Show with Technology of Faith. This is Dr. Leslie Wells, your host this week, with co-host
Therese Schoen.
Dr. Leslie and Therese are here to help remind you of who you are as a soul and of the divine power that flows to you and through you. We're talking about the powers that create worlds. You are able to direct that power intentionally with every thought you think and with every focus you hold and with every feeling that you feel. So this show is about helping you to understand the tools and the technology of how to use your faith, your belief, your thoughts to create the life of your dreams. That means you are able, yes, that's right, in the here and now, to create your heaven on earth, thought by thought. So welcome today. We want to remind you that this is the day to be uplifted. This is the day to feel gratitude for all good things in your life and point your focus intentionally in that direction. Because as you do, you will be drawing to you like a magnet more and more good things that are aligned with that same feeling. Now, I want to tell you folks that we have a special returning guest on the show today. Haven't had him in a while. We're so excited to have him back. His name is Dr. David Wright. Now, Dr. Wright is from Atlanta, and he's going to be coming to the Charlotte area next month on two occasions. So listen carefully, because his special gifts and support are going to be available in person to those who are here locally and also online to those who feel called to engage with him from afar, just as easy as turning on the computer screen.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is Dr. David Wright. He is a guest who helps us take charge of our life outcomes by intentionally reprogramming our subconscious mind. Dr. Wright is a new breed of medical doctor, a leader in his field. He brings healing from the inside out. Dr. Wright is the CEO and medical director of Medical Legal Consultants of Greater Atlanta, MLC for short, and they specialize in helping patients who've been diagnosed with a wide span of disorders, as well as providing executive, business, personal, and life coaching to professionals and individuals who truly desire to significantly improve in one or more of their life areas. So today, we're going to be talking a little bit about little-known truths about time. So it's time now to bring him on. Dr. Wright, welcome.
Hi, welcome. How are you?
So good, so good. It's thrilling to have you again. You know, I didn't mention it in your intro, but I want the listeners to know that in addition to being a physician, you are practicing things that many would consider outside the box. You've brought in hypnotherapy and neuro-linguistic programming to move into a non-pharmacologic type of psychoanalytic method that helps people get well more naturally and more quickly with lasting results by working with the subconscious mind. Can you just tell us a little bit about what that looks like in practice and what patients are getting when they come to see you?
Right, absolutely. So thank you again for that gracious welcome. I really, really appreciate it. The basis of my practice is one of the tenets that you learn during medical school, actually, and it's do no harm. And I think that's a building block of the way that we should live, and especially the way that physicians and healthcare providers and healthcare professionals should act. And so in the course of doing no harm, the first thing that you want to think about is I want to help people in their struggles, dilemmas, and challenges without doing unnecessary harm. As you are well aware, right now we have an opioid epidemic in this country.
Yes.
And we're probably not the only country with an opioid epidemic, but we're certainly at the top of the list. And in my opinion, a lot of that's because of the things that we did to try to help people were actually harmful. Mm. And so the basis of my practice is to use naturopathic, holistic, analytic, subconscious, and other than conscious methods of helping people. And those methods don't have any harm attached to them. Mm. And so they're natural. And that's the approach I like to take. I think a lot of consumers these days are looking at alternatives because they realize that, you know, standard pharmaceuticals carry side effects, unwanted consequences, addiction potential, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of times more natural, more holistic methods take longer. And people want an instant fix. But the thing about it is you pay a price for that time. And so it's interesting that we're talking about time today because a lot of things that we do are to save time or to do something quicker, and those aren't always in our best interest.
Mm. That's interesting because what I'm thinking is the difference between treating a symptom and treating a cause. So, hello,
absolutely.
God calling.
Right.
I know, right.
Wake up call, everyone. Wake up call.
So the difference between treating a symptom and treating a cause, so that would you say that medicinally we're actually helping to alleviate symptoms on the surface, but it's not the same as reaching down to the natural true cause and finding a remedy for that?
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's where the time comes in.
Okay,
because you can fix or cover up or address the symptom a lot more quickly than you can the underlying root cause.
Right.
And so, a lot of times, that's seen as the path of least resistance, and that's the path that one someone takes. And so, for instance, if someone has a cold and their symptom is cough. And runny nose and et cetera, et cetera. You can get rid of the cough instantly. I mean, you know, cough syrup and a couple of other things. But to get rid of the viral agent or the bacteria that causes that may take longer.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people will, you know, they'll take the cough syrup and think, oh, it's gone. But it's not because you never address the underlying problem.
Right.
And I think a lot of times that's what we do in society. We address the symptoms. We address the window dressing. We address the camouflage. What's on top? What's on the surface? But we don't reach down to the to the core.
Okay.
To the underlying root cause.
So we're suppressing the body's natural responses, you know, which I think when we do that, we're forgetting that our body has a wisdom flowing through it, and we are self-healing organisms.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, and I really appreciate the fact that you started to really bring to the forefront of what truly is holistic. You are really dealing with the mind, body, and spirit, and the only way I have found to ever really fully get better is you have to address mind, body, spirit in a holistic sense, which
absolutely
takes time.
Go right to the core, which takes what?
Takes
time.
Time.
Yes.
Yeah, it takes time and it takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about it. So, you know, that's the thing about fast fixes. They are fast fixes, but that fast has a trade-off, just like fast food. So if I'm hungry for lunch, there's several different options I could do. I could go to a nice restaurant. Or I could go to a bistro, or I could go grab something at a fast food place like McDonald's or, you know, et cetera. Or I could make a salad that takes maybe 10 or 15 minutes. If I go to McDonald's, I might actually think that I'm saving time, but I'm probably not when I take into account the driving there, the driving back, the time that I sit in placing my order in the drive-through window behind a bunch of cars, et cetera. And then at the end of the day, when I look at the difference in nutrition between the salad, the salmon salad I could have made at home with fresh greens, tomatoes, lettuce, salmon, egg, etc., compared to what's in, let's say, a Big Mac, it's a huge difference. I'm not going to get much nutrients from that Big Mac, but I'm going to get a whole lot of nutrients from the salad. And so a lot of times, even when we think we're saving time, we're not saving time, and we're ending up with a worse outcome.
Right. Or, you know, I wonder, scientifically, I would imagine that it could be possible to find a statistic that said for every time you made the choice to have a Big Mac instead of making your salad, how much time did you lose on your lifespan?
Right. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Is this going to potentially lower our longevity? Not to say, look, folks, we're not targeting any particular product.
None at all. Just it's just a point. It's just making a point.
An unconscious, more toxic diet versus you know, an intentionally chosen, more effort put into diet that actually supports your health and well-being in the long run.
Right.
Versus meeting the hunger or the craving in the moment in the short run and the busyness of the day that you want to save time in.
Right. And speaking of time, another aspect, if you could, Dr. Wright, explain to the listeners on when people would come in to see you or patients come in to see you, and to understand or to better explain that when they woke up that morning with a symptomology, like you said, a cough, a runny nose, perhaps a fever, is to understand that time actually before built up to this point. Like these could have been things that happened 2-3 weeks ago, if not months ago, or have been building up over time. Now you're seeing the symptomology to better understand another concept to time.
So that it takes time for something to be so out of balance that it expresses itself. I would say in the body and in the mind. Would you agree, Dr. Wright?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that brings me to a really, really important concept. So my practice is an alternative mental health practice. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm an MD. And my practice takes in a holistic integrative approach towards health and mental health. So one of the first concepts that I try to talk to my clients about is proactivity. Proactivity is the biggest way that you can save time. So there are lots of things that you can do to prevent calamities. For instance, something that we all do to prevent calamities is buy insurance. Why do you buy insurance? Because if you wreck your car, you don't have to come out of pocket with $10,000 or $15,000 to fix your car, to fix their car, to pay for medical bills, et cetera, et cetera. It saves time. It saves money. It's a proactive step. Mm-hmm. But we often don't take out insurance on our health in a more personalized way with our diet, with exercise and things like that. And so one of the first things that I talk to every single client about, regardless of the reason why they're coming in, whether it's ADD symptoms or depression, or anxiety, or procrastination, or lack of energy and motivation, is about the concept of nutrition. Nutrition, everything that we take in, every nutrient we do or don't take in, has a direct consequence on our cells, the processes, our metabolisms, enzymes, and everything that our mind and body do together or don't do together if we don't take in those nutrients. So one of the first things that I talk to people about, regardless of the reason why they come in, is what is your diet? Because input equals output. And if you put in the wrong things, you're going to put out exhaust fumes. It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. Now, I know that you mentioned to me that there are some things to understand about time. Okay, even beyond what we've already discussed as far as how when we think we're saving time, we can actually be losing time and losing health, you know, by trying to shortcut and not being proactive, being reactive instead of proactive, or I'm going to say creative, intentionally creative. We are creating our health and well-being. Now, there are some issues with time that I wanted to raise today since we're focusing on time. And by the way, we're here at the holiday time, and there's a lot of people rushing around. I notice there's a lot of traffic out there, and we're coming right up to Christmas Day and Hanukkah and a number of special celebration times for humanity and in this culture in particular. And I find myself running behind and noticing others that are doing the same thing. And I wondered if we could talk a little bit. What about when we have issues with time that seem to be a part of our lives ongoing that we can't get out of? What about people that are constantly running late or constantly feeling impatient because life isn't happening fast enough, or they're not getting their answer fast enough, or they want the fast food because they don't even have the patience to focus and put time into what they want to eat, okay? How do you direct people to change their perspective and understanding and relationship with time to make shifts in their life for the better?
Right. That's a great, great, great question. I think that's a long-standing question that we've been asking for a long time, and not many answers have come up. Here's what I think. I think you have to look at the outcomes and then go backwards from the outcome. So if you want a certain outcome, like, for instance, let's say you want to be happy, healthy, rich, prosperous, giving, and all these things. If you wanted to be all those things, it would probably behoove you to find someone who illustrates those properties and traits and characteristics and emulate what they do. But a lot of times we don't do that. We try to reinvent the wheel, which there's nothing wrong with reinventing things. But if you have a successful model at hand, you might as well learn from it because it's going to save you a lot of time and it's going to save you a lot of energy. The same thing is true about time. So if you look at the outcomes of your time, that tells you a little bit about how your mind perceives time. So, for instance, as an example, you take someone who is chronically late. They're always in a rush. They're in a rush to get to the doctor's office, and they're late for that. And they're in a rush to get to meet their friends out for dinner, and they're late for that. And they're late for work, and they're late for a meeting, and they're late for a conference call. The thing about it is, if somebody is chronically late, there is a payoff, an incentive in there that keeps them being late, because people don't do things unless there's an incentive or a payoff or a reward. So just like Pavlov's dogs or any other type of animal model that you want to look at, we do what gets us a reward. And so a lot of times, for instance, someone who's late all the time, part of the payoff for them might be the adrenaline rush they get from feeling like they're racing to get here, and it may make them feel more important. It may raise their heart rate. It may make them feel more alive, a lot of different things. And so you get a metabolic payoff when you're running late all the time, as opposed to someone who's kind of taking their time. They're not getting as much epinephrine and norepinephrine, maybe not as much serotonin, et cetera. So there's a different chemical makeup that's formed from being on time, being late, being early, all those things. And so the same thing is true, the converse is true for someone who's chronically early. They get a payoff. They get a certain reward. So what you have to do is think about the reward system and change the reward system and wire it backwards to your time in order to make the change. Because it's not just, you're just not chronically showing up late as a pattern for no reason. There's a payoff. You just have to figure out what that is and address it directly.
And how do you address it directly? So if someone is getting a payoff from being chronically early and and feeling more in control, it's a control issue, feeling more dominant, or you know, like like better than others or something like that.
More
but to
mature,
be the first one, the first one there.
Perfectionism is what keeps coming to my mind.
Or versus someone who's chronically late, who's
Kind
of like a drug addict because they're adrenaline junkie and their body's right. kicking in with those chemicals that give them a rush. How does a person that figures that out about themselves, hypothetically speaking, of course, I'm not talking about myself.
So, of course not.
Never.
No, look.
Absolutely not.
I'm a twin, and I was born 11 minutes after my brother, so I'm the youngest. And I've said I tend to run 11 minutes late. Throughout my life, I'm like, you know, less than that for hard business meetings. But truly, I've noticed that things just happen. It's as if I attract circumstances to make it happen, even if I think I left early. And, you know, so how do you, if we go, okay, let's just use Dr. Leslie as an example. How would I get myself off of that perpetual loop of addictive kind of pattern where I'm getting the adrenaline rush and my body, mind, and world are all supporting the same perpetual outcome each time, rushing and running late, rushing and running late, you know, speeding to get there and passing people. How do you replace that with something else and start to make your reality change?
Right. And the funny thing about that is the solution is fairly easy. You create more rewards for the behavior that you want to have and create fewer rewards and or negative consequences for the behavior that you don't want. So what you do is you create a system so that when you're late, there's a consequence. Even before you are actually late, if you start late, there's a consequence. As you're becoming late, there are consequences. But at the same time, on days when you're early or when you arrive early or on time or you're on schedule, there are rewards all along the way. And how you do that in your life is up to you. You construct it. The rewards can be anything from tangible things to intangible things. So, for instance, one of the things that I do with clients who want to lose weight is, and especially the ones who love clothes, is I will have them to find and buy the shirts or pants or whatever it is they want to fit in that they like most in one size smaller than what they are now. And that's just the opposite of what some people do when they buy something larger. So let's say if somebody's gained 10 pounds, somewhere between 5'4 and 5'10, and they've gained 10 to 20 pounds. You know, that might equal a size difference from a medium to a large, et cetera. You know, if they go to the store and they see something that they like, they go to Dillard's, Macy's, whatever, and they see a shirt that they really, really like, and they normally wear a medium, and this shirt is available in a medium and a large, and they try on the medium and it doesn't fit, and they go, okay, well, you know, I'll get the large. What they're doing is, they're allowing their behavior to reflect that it's okay that I've gained weight. I'm satisfied with that. I accept it. And instead, what I'm saying they should do is reject it. If they can't wear a medium anymore, they need to buy the medium with the thinking that as soon as they lose that weight and get down to that size, part of their reward will be able to wear this shirt that they've been wanting. And so one of the first things I tell people who want to lose weight, is buy some clothes that you really, really want, things that you might not even normally buy for yourself, or things that are more expensive, extravagant, whatever, than what you might normally buy as an incentive and as a reward for you losing the weight. But definitely don't buy things that are bigger, because that's giving yourself permission to grow even larger. Mm. So that's one simple fix that you can do.
Right, right. So we're going to take a break here in just a moment with a word from our sponsors, but we just want to also clarify what we're going to be coming back into when we do come back into the show. We're going to talk a little bit, Dr. Wright, I have let the listeners know in advance. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the little known secrets about time and how we can work with time in a way that supports us being intentional creators. In other words, how we can find alignment in a new way, in a new perspective of time that helps us to be more accurately aligned for what we intend in life, so that we are calling into our reality right on time what we want, even timing of what we are manifesting through our intentional focus and alignment. And I know you do a lot of work with people on the subconscious mind to release those blockages from becoming what they intend, from bringing through in their life what they intend. We're going to talk a little bit about how you're using these tools to manage the subconscious mind intentionally to release these old habits and help ourselves move into more of an empowered life, more of the life of a creator intentionally. Righty. So okay. Listeners, stay tuned. We'll be right back in just a moment with that continued conversation with Dr. David Wright from Atlanta.
Thank you.
If you enjoy Technology of Faith with Dr. Leslie and Friends, you're going to love the free ebook Path to Wealth Through Faith, The Inspired Teachings of Eve Consciousness. You'll learn the new story of energetic vibrational exchange consciousness, access the powerful tools and technology of faith that will enable you to create the life of your dreams with confidence and ease. Download your first segments of this free ebook today, Path to Wealth Through Faith, available now at PathToWealthThroughFaith.com. That's PathToWealthThroughFaith.com. This is Technology of Faith with Dr. Leslie and Friends.
And we're back. This is the Dr. Leslie Show with Technology of Faith. This show is about the new era that we are in, folks. This is the era of Eve consciousness. EVE stands for Energetic Vibrational Exchange. And what does that mean? That means that there's an exchange going on, that you and every thought that you think are vibrational. And that the reality you live in is vibrational. You are an energetic being, and you are emitting a vibrational, energetic message out to the world with every thought and every feeling that you have, and life will bring back to you a match to that. So if you are feeling like a victim, if you are feeling like life is unfair, and if you are feeling disempowered, you're likely going to see evidence of those beliefs being true in your life. You will call them in like a magnet. You know that research says that a bully, a child bully in a classroom, will be directly gravitated towards a victim child. Okay, so a child who is a match to being bullied in their own consciousness and their own perception of themselves is going to be the most likely child that a bully picks to pick on, okay? And let's just take that outside of childhood and classroom and understand that life is our classroom, and that when we are perpetuating a feeling of victimhood, we are magnetizing to us circumstances that support that feeling. Turn it around, folks. And when we believe that we are deserving, when we believe that we are worthy of love, worthy of all good things, divinely and perfectly made, then those good things will line up to come to us. We can't even be ready for how fast they're going to chase us down. This is the message of Eve consciousness, to say that you now are in the era where you are called to be this intentional thinker and creator of your own world. And you can turn your thoughts and beliefs, you can turn your faith in such a direction that you, yes, move mountains in your life, that you are the changer of water into wine, and every good thing that you intend, it's available for you here and now. We're in the third era of human consciousness evolution, and you are supported in every way to become that which you are destined to become. Like never before in history, it's available for you now. And the tools to help you get there are what this show is all about, and why we're having this interview with Dr. David Wright of Atlanta, who is one of those experts in the world representing many experts who can step in and assist you and help you learn and use tools of faith to move you into your most empowered life ever. Now, folks, I want to let you know that we are having two special events here in the Charlotte, North Carolina area in January 2018. And I want to invite you to both of them. First, on January 20th, is the grand opening for Higher Health and Well-Being. This is the new Lakeside Wellness Center for Holistic Health and Well-Being. The Wellness Center is in Cornelius. It is right on Lake Norman. And at this grand opening, we are going to have as guest presenter and facilitator Dr. David Wright, who's on the phone with us right now, who we're interviewing on today's show. We're also going to have presentations by each of the practitioners so that you're going to be able to speak with gifted practitioners about their offerings. You're going to learn about what's available today for your own holistic health and well-being to move to the highest level you've ever been able to experience. And you're going to be able to speak one-on-one and learn how we can help you in your healing journey. So if you want to learn more, call 980-202-1055. That's 980-202-1055. For more information, that is going to be January the 20th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's a Saturday, Lakeside Wellness Center open house. That's 17813 Spinnaker's Reach Drive in Cornelius. Now, one more event. Got to tell you, the following weekend, the next Saturday, we are having an Eve Consciousness workshop, one-day workshop from 10 to 5. The facilitators will be myself, Therese Schoen, co-host of this show, and also facilitator extraordinaire of multiple healing modalities and especially of healing and releasing through your physical body and movement, your focus and your breath. And Dr. David Wright will be visiting from Atlanta and offering a life-changing experience that shifts your subconscious blocks. Again, call for more info, 980-202-1055, or find out more online, lakesidewellnesscenter.com and eveconsciousness.com. Now, we're back to that conversation with Dr. Wright. We're talking a bit about time. I think it's time to learn more about time and how to align with time to create the divine life that we intend. Dr. Wright, what do you have to say about our relationship with time? How does it hold us up or how does it support us when we're in right or wrong relationship with time?
Right. So the way that I look at time is, can you imagine swimming? So most of us learn how to swim. But can you imagine swimming in the ocean or and you're swimming either against the tide or with the tide or away from the tide?
Mm.
You're going to have a vastly different experience of swimming. If you're swimming against the tide, you're probably not going to get very far. If you're swimming along the tide, you're probably going to get somewhere. If you're swimming with the tide, then you're actually going to get somewhere, but at the same time or at the same frequency or level as the tide does. So you're actually kind of riding the tide. So there's those. So from that perspective, there's three different ways that you could approach it.
So in other words, the tide can be against you and slow you down.
Right.
The tide can be adding to your efforts and speeding you up.
Right.
Or you can just be parallel with the tide to where you're just floating with the tide.
Bingo.
Okay.
Bingo, exactly. And the same is true with time. And so a lot of times, people don't learn to manage time. So, for instance, when it comes to managing money, we have all kinds of things. We have apps. We have calculators. We have bank accounts. We have statements. We have programs. We have QuickBooks. We have QuickBooks. We have a million different things. We have money managers, money analysts. We have a million different things, piggy banks for children. We have a million different things for managing money, but we don't have a lot of things for managing time. And so the reason why people are able to build wealth and manage their money well, and of course there's some people who don't do it well, but the tools are there. The tools are there because we've learned how to manage money because we respect money. But we don't have a lot of things that measure time. We have watches that tell us what time it is where we are at the present moment. But just knowing what time it is doesn't tell you or inform you in any way about how to manage that time. Mm-hmm. And so you have to approach it from a systemic way, in a systemic way. You have to manage, learn to create a system that works for you in the natural rhythm of who you are and where you are about time. And there are a lot of different ways you can do that. Mm-hmm. You can use a calendar system. You can use a note system. You can use post-it notes. You can use reminders. You can use partners and people who keep you accountable and keep track. You can use reward systems. There's all types of things that you can do, but you just have to come up with a time management system that works for you.
Okay.
Because if you have more ways to manage your money than you have to manage your time, then you're always going to fall short, because at the end of the day, time is more important than money.
Mm-hmm. And some people say time is money. When we lose time...
I think time is more than money, but it's definitely equal to...
Well, at least, time is worth money. I mean, there's most of us are in a 3D reality. We are getting an exchange for our time with money in jobs, you know, even if it's a salary job or whatever. Or there's time that goes into what it is that we're putting forward that we have an exchange with. And then there is that new understanding of creating from a vertical perspective. That's not about that equal exchange from the 3D, but that input equals output is to do with our frequency and our belief. So when it comes to moving into that realm of actually the quantum realm, Dr. David, and actually looking at intending and aligning and vibrating a message to the world and watching it kind of magically show up for us, be it health or wealth or relationship or whatever, you know, I find that a lot of times people, when a certain amount of time passes and they're holding an intention and they're really believing for something, they've got faith in something that they haven't seen yet, hasn't materialized yet, that as time passes, they can start to waver and doubt.
Right.
And then they start putting the brakes on the whole thing.
Right.
Because they're not as crisply aligned. How do we work with that? And how would you help a person through that kind of an issue with your subconscious changing therapies like hypnotherapy and NLP?
You know, I love the way you express that. You actually got to the heart of what I was going to say. And that is, the key to it is faith. When people waver, it's because they're losing faith. And when people accelerate, it's because they're gaining faith. And so if someone starts to waver in their belief in something, it's because they don't have a lot of faith in it, or they don't have enough faith. And they don't have enough faith because somewhere in their alignment, they know that all the things that they need to get there aren't present. It's an intuitive thing. I think that a lot of times we don't trust ourselves, we don't trust our psyches, our minds, and our bodies enough. But your mind and your body have, in my case, 44 years of experience dealing with the world and knowing what to trust, what not to trust, all those things. If you can't trust that, I mean, what can you trust? And so when you lose faith in something, there's a reason why. It's not just because of your own, you know, certainly we have our own insecurities. But a lot of times, from an intuitive standpoint, if you're losing trust in something, it's because you don't have all the tools set up and the resources and the planning and strategy to make that a reality. And so the way that you do that is you are proactive and you create the strategy, the planning, the network, and all those things that are going to make it more likely for you to be successful. And that way, you're not just depending on faith. You're depending on faith, but you also have a system in place. And you have a plan A and a plan B and a plan C and all those things. And so you're not just relying on your faith. You're also relying on your actions, your works, the systems that you've created.
Well, let me put forward a quick example, if I might.
NLP and hypnosis to embed commands, thoughts, affirmations that reinforce trusting your gut instinct and creating those strategies and plans that make things more likely to happen and give you more faith in what you want to accomplish.
Okay, so 7 years ago, 7.5 years ago, I wrote a cosmic order for a new relationship.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I made an energy symbol out of those words, and I just released it and held myself in a vibrational state of celebration, believing that this, and making my body and mind feel like this has already happened. And the you know, the Bible says if you ask for anything in prayer and believe that it has been given, it will be given unto you. So for me, I brought into my body mind a feeling of it's already been given. Without even going to a dating site online or this or that, or that, which I had done before with mixed results. Right. I let this go, and 5 days later, with hundreds of people on the beach, a pair of feet walked up to mine, introduced himself, sat down in the sand, and in an hour, I knew this was my delivery. I knew. Now, he said that from the moment he saw me, the further he walked down the beach, and there were hundreds of much better looking women than me on that beach. That's hilarious. The further he walked, the stronger the image was coming to his mind until he felt compelled to turn around and go back. Now, to me, this is a vibrational exchange happening, and he was a match to what I was intending. He was a match much more accurately than what Match.com or any of these systems on a 3D level can figure out. We are married. Our relationship has gotten better and better and better. And I decided to let go of the linear perspective of how do I make this happen and said, okay, I'm going to pull in the quantum field and say, this is what I want. Field consciousness, God, work it out for me beyond what my mind can comprehend and bring in the exact match. And I know that if I had within me at that time doubts or in my subconscious mind a lot of unworthiness or some a twist or skew about what I would get in relationship, that wouldn't have been able to show up for me. So, you know, I believe that what you're doing to a great degree, I mean, for many people, you are actually helping them release those limiting beliefs and bring in a higher sense of love and worthiness for themselves and enabling them or supporting them in moving to their highest clarity, focus, and belief for what they intend. And that belief in and of itself is almost supernaturally, but really naturally from beyond what the linear mind would perceive, drawing into it those synchronistic events, circumstances and conversations and people and opportunities that they line up with when they hold that belief. What are your thoughts about that and about hypnotherapy helping people move into that right alignment that brings in our reality? I remember I had a session with you and I saw a butterfly in that session, I saw all these white butterflies.
Right.
And then, you know, within hours, my husband and I are at a gas station and I walk over next to the building and suddenly there's these white butterflies. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm drawing into my field the very thing that my subconscious mind encountered in that journey with you. It was just so powerful.
That's that confirmation.
Yes.
It's absolute confirmation from the divine.
Well, and it's also actually just scientifically an accurate vibrational exchange.
Absolutely.
Because I touched on that vibrational frequency with my subconscious mind, which is that potent creator essence.
It is.
And it called in a match to it in this physical reality.
Wow.
That's how I saw it. So, I'm believing that really when you are using tools to help a person release their limitations of thought and move to a higher level of belief of what is possible and what they deserve, that there's more than them just having a better attitude going on, that there's actually going to be a quantum result. There's going to be a vibrational change in the signal that they're putting out into this reality. And that there's going to be a match coming back to them. They're going to be magnetizing their way those synchronistic events and circumstances that will bring to be that thing that they're focusing on and believing in.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think you put your thumb right on it. So the thing about it is when you look at limiting beliefs, you have to ask yourself, how and why and where do people have limiting beliefs? Now, each one of us is unique, and I think we all recognize that. But we grow up or evolve or become adults in a system that tends to, like, mandate that this is what we need to do to be successful, or we need to do this to be happy, et cetera. So, for instance, let's say I'm born, and let's say my innate natural proclivity is towards art, painting, let's say, painting and sculptures. But we don't live in a world that necessarily promotes that. Now, if you grow up in an artistic family or something like that, that might be a little bit different, but most of us don't. And so a lot of times we grow up in environments that don't necessarily embrace the things that we naturally have innate proclivities towards. And so you might grow up in a society that says that you need to be an attorney, or you need to be an accountant, or you need to be a pro athlete, or things like that. But that's not really where your inner energy and being lies. And so what you'll do is, because these other things have been forced on you, you'll create limiting beliefs about, A, your ability to be what society or what you perceive society wants you to be, and also limiting beliefs behind what you really are intended or naturally good at in the first place. And the way that you deal with that, the way that I help deal with that, is I help to release limiting beliefs using hypnosis and NLP to help people gain alignment with who they really are. I think most of the times when we don't get the results that we intend, it's because there's a misalignment. There's an alignment problem between what's inside and what's outside. And I think it also relates to time. So, for instance, if you take someone who works in a certain industry and they're chronically late, maybe it's the industry. Maybe it's not necessarily their relationship with time. Maybe there's something about them or their inner self that rejects that activity or that thing. So, for instance, let's say you're in a sorority. And you're
so they're resisting getting there.
Uh-huh. Already, always late for that sorority meeting. Well, that's an important thing to know. That's feedback. There's a reason why you're late for that sorority meeting, but not for anything else. Or conversely, if you're late for everything, that points more towards an inner thing. Mm-hmm. And so one of the first things that I look at, besides looking at the building blocks in nutrition, is the inner alignment. Most people don't have a clue who they really are, what they really want, because they've been told for so long that that's not the thing that they should be to be successful. And I think that's a big part of it. You have to figure out who you are, what you like, what you enjoy, and build upon that. And there's no way you won't be successful. But if you try to be something that you feel your parents or the world or society or the environment or the culture want you to do, then it's a lot less likely to happen. You're fighting against the tide.
Okay, all right. So then you're what you're doing is helping people tap into the clues in their lives for what's really going on inside of them, for really their higher wisdom's perspective. You know, if there's some inner part of you that says, I'm not a fit for this sorority, right? Or if there's another cause from within that's demonstrating itself as a pattern in life. So, Dr. Wright, I know I have experienced your work. It is the deepest levels of reaching the subconscious mind that I have ever experienced. I've found it to be absolutely profound, and I'm thrilled that you're going to be coming to Charlotte and to Lake Norman for these two events next month. Again, folks, as we get right over here through the holidays, we're going to be launching 2018 with your best self ever and your ability to create your best life in 2018 with this grand opening open house and also with this workshop, Eve Consciousness Workshop. So again, check that out online. Go to lakesidewellnesscenter.com for the grand opening. go to eveconsciousness.com for the one-day workshop. I'm sure we'll post each of those on the opposite sites as well. And between now and then, learn more about Dr. Wright. This is on www.medicallegalconsultantsofgreateratlanta.com or email him at Dr. David Wright, that's W-R-I-G-H-T, Dr. David Wright, at hotmail.com. Dr. Wright, thank you so much for being with us as a guest again today. We can't wait to have you here working the magic of your incredible tools, unleashing the subconscious mind from our limiting beliefs and blocks and helping us change those behaviors in life that are keeping us from our best life ever. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I just like to say, to tell all the listeners, to use this opportunity, to use this workshop. These are opportunities for you to grow. And the thing about it is regardless of what direction you want to grow in or what you want to manifest in your life, when you resonate benefit in one area, that will boomerang to other areas in your life. So even if you are looking for romance and you might find, I don't know, career happiness, then that's going to make it more likely that you're going to find romance as well.
Yes.
And so don't come in with a preconceived thing about I have to get this or I have to get that. Just go with the flow. But definitely seize the opportunity to come to this conference. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Bless you. Thank you, brother. And so, folks, yes,
absolutely.
Positive momentum. That's your positive feedback loop. So let some movement get moving in one area and watch how it spreads to the rest. So, folks, I want to thank you for being with us again. We're going to send you with blessings today and remind you, as always, this is your divine dynamic duo, Dr. Leslie
and Teresa,
reminding you that you are never alone. You are loved. You are worthy, and all is well. Be blessed and walk sacred.
You're a spark of divinity. Keep shining.
You have been listening to Technology of Faith with Dr. Leslie and Friends. To replay today's show, visit technologyoffaithradio.com. Listen in again next Saturday at 10 a.m. for another edition of Technology of Faith.